Get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is finally here, the NFL draft. Just a mere 13 hours from now, Joe Rexroad, the draft will begin after months and months of discussing this day. We finally made it, as Liam on the text line, who's already, text line's already firing this morning, Liam says, it's finally here. It feels like Christmas morning, but, you know, like adult Christmas, where you're tired from putting together kids' toys and dealing with in-laws, and it's going to be mostly disappointing. This is from Liam on the text line. Thank you, Liam.
It is, and it is kind of like the adult Christmas because, like, you know the gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, it's like
got a pretty good idea of what's happening.
The kid Christmas, you're excited. You have no idea what might happen. Yeah. You know, you might get that Red Ranger rifle or whatever that was in the Christmas story.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
It's not Red Ranger.
No, it's not that, but Ian, help me out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do, yeah. Ralphie.
Yeah, exactly. Or you might get the, you know,
Red Rider.
Red Rider, thank you. You know, the Huffy bicycle with the banana seat.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Exactly. But if you're the parent, you just basically, you already know. But then again, if you're the parent, the whole thing is the excitement of the kid that you're, you know, right? The excitement of the kids that you're anticipating. So, I guess, how do we make that relative
I guess we'll all be excited for Cam Ward.
I guess so.
Or Chad
Brinker. How excited will Cam Ward be? There you go.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be Cameron Ward tonight. That's what we learned yesterday. Roger Goodell will be announcing him as Cameron Ward.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, he's going as Cameron Ward in his career. Is that right?
He said that Roger Goodell will be announcing him as Cameron Ward because that's the name his mother gave him. But he doesn't really care if people call him Cam throughout his career. He said, people know me as Cam, and that's fine.
Okay.
So,
because I've heard some others around town very heavily pushing Cameron. And I'm like, okay, this is a thing here. Okay.
Look, at this point, if he comes out and says, I would like everyone to call me Cameron Ward, then that's what we'll do. But he did not say that. He just said, that's what Goodell will be saying, and he doesn't mind if everybody else calls him Cam.
Yeah, I don't know why, but Cameron Ward rubs me wrong.
Too formal?
It just doesn't, I guess. Just doesn't. Cam Ward is, you know, hits you right away. Cameron Ward. I don't know. Maybe I'm making too much of it.
Well, maybe you can tell him that when he gets here. Cameron, yeah. I don't like your name.
You're Cam, okay?
Yeah,
thank
this
you.
This is what you'll be.
And you will not ask Warren Moon for number one.
Yeah. It's a story that PK came out with yesterday. Apparently, Warren Moon is open to the idea of him wearing number one when he gets here. A lot of reaction to that.
Dustin from Hopkinsville said, picking Ward is about like getting underwear as a Christmas gift. Jeez. Honestly, man. See, again, we all have our own different perspectives, but like when I get like underwear and socks, I'm excited now.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of am too. I mean, Ian, that's
like some good boxer briefs
on the Christmas front of like, yeah. I used to when, you know, when you're 14, 15, you get socks. It's like, oh, gee, thanks. Now,
especially if they're like nice ones.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
And even not. Otherwise, I have to go buy them myself every year. So, save myself $20. Someone sends me some socks instead. Sure.
I mean, it's legitimate excitement when I see them now. I'm like, good. I needed some of these.
No doubt. Now, we all have parenting experiences. I guess the one thing I have that you guys probably wouldn't have is children of yours stealing your clothing.
That's a big problem.
Yet. So when I get underwear and socks and then I can hide them somewhere.
Oh, yeah, good. Especially the nice ones I could see.
Sure.
And then they're
mismatched and, yeah, you know.
All right, so the NFL draft is here. We have made it. It is Cam Ward Day here in Nashville. We'll take your thoughts on that all show long. In the meantime, in preparation for Cam Ward Day, they've gotten him a receiver. Tyler Lockett is the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. If you missed it, so did I, because I was asleep when this happened last night. Tyler Lockett signs a deal with the Titans. According to reports, it's a one-year deal worth $4 million that could get up to as much as $6 million. Tyler Lockett, 32 years old. He had 49 catches and 600 yards last year, two touchdowns with Seattle. Played in all 17 games last year, so you like seeing that from a year ago. And frankly, if you look out through his career, he's been incredibly durable. And that kind of goes right in line with the other moves the Titans have made this offseason for the most part. They have clearly made it a point of emphasis of looking for players that have a history of remaining healthy. We talked about that during the main part of the free agency period. And now again here with Lockett, right before the draft, they sign him at age 32, coming off a 49-catch, 600-yard season where he played in all 17 games. Joe, what do you make of this move of Tyler Lockett joining the receiver room for the Titans?
Tyler Boyd, see you later. Welcome, Tyler Lockett, to the pantheon of receivers well past their prime who come to the Tennessee Titans. However,
it really is quite a club.
It is. Now, remember, one of the most recent ones, DeAndre Hopkins, actually had a really good season with the Tennessee Titans. Let's not forget that. He was bucking history that year. That, like, they didn't win, but he was bucking history. So it's not 100% that receivers who come here who have had great careers are going to come here to do nothing. I do feel like he'll be more of a productive presence than the last Tyler.
I would agree.
I mean, look, I don't hate it at all. I mean, given the state of their receiver room.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, given the state of their receiver room, he immediately is a key guy in this offense. you don't necessarily want him to be a key guy in your offense, but it's so bereft of talent in that receiver room that you had to do something like this. So I know some people might look at this and say, oh, so now they're definitely drafting an edge, you know, like with number 35 or whatever. I don't look at this as any. I guess the way I would look at this is they absolutely have to get a starting level receiver in this draft. Maybe now in the fifth or something, or you know, whatever, you know, later in the draft, maybe they do something other than, because I thought they would have to take two receivers in this draft. So maybe not now. That would be the possible impact on their drafting.
I say I like this move. I like it from the standpoint of, you know, Lockett is a durable guy. He's not very expensive, and he brings some leadership and some experience and, frankly, just another body in the room. Like, they need as many bodies in that room right now as they can get. I don't need this to change the draft strategy for the Titans towards the top of the draft at all. Like, if you were, before this signing, thinking about wide receiver, you need to still be thinking about wide receiver when it comes to number 35 overall or trading back or whatever it is. Like, to me, what we've talked about all offseason, edge rusher and receiver, does not change one iota with Tyler Lockett being signed here. So I hope that's the way the Titans approach it. Now, look, you know, if the best player on your board rolls around at pick 35 and it's an edge rusher, then take the edge rusher. Like, that's always been my position.
For sure.
I think that part of it doesn't change either. So, you know, whether they end up with an edge rusher at 35 or a wide receiver at 35, or, you know, if they trade back and try to pick up both, I'm cool with that. But I hope this does not change the, well, we're good now. We've got Ridley and Lockett. We don't need some young wide receiver. Well, yeah, you do. You still need one. So make sure that you accomplish that if you're the Titans.
And I would think, you know, I know these guys aren't Bill Polian, but I think they probably get that.
Well, I hope whoever they draft has ran a 4.51 or faster.
That's true. So it's,
otherwise they have no chance.
So it's 4.51 or more, no, you're out?
Yeah, if you haven't run at least 4.51, you can't be drafted.
Okay, so 4.51, you're okay.
4.52, you're screwed.
4.52, you are out of there, buddy. Yeah. Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Good to know.
I mean, look, Dante Thornton well clears that. He's fine. You can draft him, according to the Bill Polian standard.
That's true.
Forget 4.3 something.
Forget, like, how he has, you know, has been hurt or hasn't necessarily played all that well or whatever. But, yeah, 40 times awesome.
No, I mean, it is. So, obviously, Lockett spent his entire career in Seattle. You're talking about 10 years. So, he's been an incredibly productive player there. You know, really highlighted from basically 2018 until, I mean, really as recently as 2023. But I'd go 2022, where it kind of cuts off the prime there. I mean, look, 2018 – he had 57 catches, 965 yards, and 10 touchdowns, and that's when he kind of burst onto the scene. And then after that, it was basically like anywhere from 80 75 to 100 catches per year, over 1,000 yards for the next 4 years, and kind of approaching double-digit touchdowns every year. So he's been incredibly productive. You know, it started to go the other way. 2023, he had 79 catches for 894 and 5 touchdowns. Last year, the catch total really dropped to 49 and 600. So you can see it. He's going the other way.
Yes.
But frankly, like, if you told me right now that he ended up with the same exact stat line that he had a year ago, 49 catches for 600 yards and 2 touchdowns, that's probably not going to get Titans fans overly excited. I would sign up for that today.
100%.
I would tell you right now.
For what they're paying him, absolutely. I think the Titans will be thrilled with that production. And then you if you have that with, you know, Ridley having the season that he needs to have, which is certainly more than 1,000 yards, and then receiver TBD giving you production – then, okay, it looks a little bit more like an NFL team now.
Right, and look, I think you need to – you just need to know, and I think Titans fans do, that this is not Tyler Lockett from 2020 walking through the door here. I mean, you've got to understand that. And as long as you understand that, at age 32, and he'll be 33 coming up in September, you know, what are realistic expectations? Like, again, like, I think this is good for Cam Ward. You know, he's obviously been a guy that has been available. He's been durable. And it gives you another guy that you know knows what he's doing at the NFL level in the receiver room. That, frankly, right now, they got, like, one of those guys. They got Ridley. So this is a good move, in my opinion, on that front. And I hope it does not change their draft strategy tonight. Tyler Lockett, the newest member of the Tennessee Titans. We'll take your reaction to that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. It is draft day. We have made it. Your thoughts on what could be officially dubbed in our city as Cam Ward Day, if things go well with this draft pick. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience. It is draft day tonight. Taking your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. Mike from Pennsylvania says, I like kicking the tires on Lockett. I take him over Keenan Allen. Not expecting much, but it never hurts to have an experienced pro. Mo says, I mean, what Tyler Lockett had last year, I was hoping Treylon Burks would get that with a crying, laughing emoji face.
And then someone else, was that Dustin, said, no, those are NWI numbers.
Well, I mean, not the same touchdown volume.
Yes,
NWI
that's true.
Is a touchdown machine
touchdown
last year.
Touchdown maker. But
and he only had 32 catches. 32 catches, 9 touchdowns. That's a heck of a touchdown rate.
That is absurd. Yeah, Lockett, you know, a guy who's, you know, the last 3 years, I mean, like you said, he burst on the scene 18, 17 yards a catch that year. You know, last 3 years, he's around 11, 12 a catch. Whereas, you know, like in 20 or 21, he's 16, 1 a catch. Yards per catch, you know, is one of those things you look at. Lockett, I think, in fact, in 21, long there is 69. I think that happened against the Titans. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah.
I believe that he,
Russell Wilson throwing one of those moon balls.
Yep. And the Titans had a little mix up. But don't worry, because Julio Jones showed he would be a star that season on that day.
Yeah, I remember that day because they called a touchdown back that I think to this day is pretty clearly still a touchdown from Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Robbed us all.
Yeah.
That's the same day that Josh Reynolds, that's a heck of a game. Same day that Josh Reynolds was going in motion. And decided to just start running forward like it was arena football.
Yeah, jet motion.
It's like, what's he doing? Wow, he's 6 yards past the line of scrimmage. How about that?
And the Titans back then could be behind in a game and still just be like, here, Derek, will you save us? Yeah, run for a 75-yard touchdown, will you?
Exactly what he did in that game.
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
Good times.
Little did we know Tyler Lockett would be a part of the Titans just a few years later.
How about that?
Maybe not quite the same guy.
Yeah, not quite the same Titans either.
Not quite the same Titans. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Ed in New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Joe, real quick, before I just ask my question, I share your rant from yesterday. I don't know when, as a middle 50s individual, that I signed up for Senior Assassin, but apparently I have, and I wind up pulling my son's car, who parked a block and a half away, around to my driveway, and wind up getting shot by two kids jumping out of the bushes with water pistols. So
unbelievable.
I don't know.
What a time we're living
when
in.
I signed up. So,
well, just wait till my rant today, because I got new information today for a rant. Oh, so this is an epidemic. Epidemic.
Rex Rhodes under attack. I can go on for 20 minutes. I can go on for 20 minutes about it. Anyway, quarterbacks are often talked about as having, like, this it factor. And I think it's thrown around an awful lot. I'd like to know what your guys' opinion of what that is. To me, it's to be able to be clutch and to be able to show that you can bring your team back. Maybe, you know, come from behind wins, those type of things. Because as a rookie, you know, in a room full of veterans, I don't know how you become an alpha without showing that you're not, it's not too big. The moment's not too big for you. So I wanted to get your opinion on what you think the it factor is.
Yeah, good question.
When we talk about quarterbacks.
I appreciate it. There's one word that came to mind when he started talking about that, and it's just unflappable. Like, that's what I think of. Are you, no matter what's going on out there, are you unflappable with the way it's going? And look, I think a lot of times it does manifest itself in, you know, being clutch and coming up with big plays in key moments. But I think it's also like when things are going poorly, can you pull your team out of it? Like, that's another part of it is having that it factor. Can you pull yourself and pull your team out of it? Not every time, but more often than not. That's what I would say.
I think that's a good that term is of course used so in so many ways different. Yep. But I think at quarterback, I would agree that being poised and being able to come through in those big moments, right, is a big deal. Like, if you want to look at Cam Ward last year, I think the ultimate Cam, I've talked about this, but the ultimate Cam Ward experience is definitely that Cal game where he did some things that helped them build a deficit that were like, what are you doing? And then at the end, he was insanely good, you know, on those drives to get them close and then to end up winning the game. It factor, it's funny because it factor is it actually makes me think of my friends at S2 Cognition, because their whole thing is like, see, the it factor is actually mental processing with a lot of players. Like, it's like, what? That guy just has an instinct. Well, actually, he processes quicker than other people. It's funny how S2 is no longer – those guys have, like, they've gone back into, like, please nobody talk about it.
Right.
But I promise you, teams in this league are still paying them a lot of money to evaluate the quarterbacks included, too.
Well, it's funny because I largely probably agree with that. It's the processing part. But then, like, I would also say, like, you know, McNair's was different. Like, McNair's was – he had the it factor of – basically, a lot of his were pulling the ball down and going and picking up some yards where you're just like, how did he do that?
And also,
like,
for him, it was toughness.
It was toughness.
I mean, that's got to be a part of it,
like,
factor,
you know,
too, right?
I remember – you know, I was only a little kid at the time, but watching – like, what I could still, to this day, I remember where I was – whose house I was at, what I was doing, watching that last drive of the Super Bowl where he got out of that sack when Kevin Carter and whoever else was chasing there, and I was like, oh, my God, they're going to win. Like, that guy's unbelievable. Like, just having moments like that is what you're looking for from when you're drafting a quarterback, number one.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can mean a lot of things, but yeah, you definitely – I agree, unflappability, poise – you know, all that stuff. And as far as him being the alpha, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, first of all, everybody in this locker room knows that the entire organization now is counting on, like, he's coming in to turn everything around.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I promise you, all just hope he's great. I don't think he has to come in and immediately, like, stake his, you know, piece of territory. Like, you know, they all know he's a rookie and he has to grow into it. But it is one of those things where if he does some special things on the field this year, obviously that helps him a lot. But again, go back to Levis's rookie year and the first time he went on the field and it was like, oh, my God, look at this kid. I mean, people want to embrace that. They want it to be real.
Well, and frankly, what I know of Cam Ward's personality and what I've seen, like, I think he's got a lot of that. He's got a lot of stuff to him that's going to endear him to his teammates. Again.
Moxie.
Yeah, he's got that. Again, the most important thing is, like, can you play? Like, that's what it boils down to. Can you play at a high enough level on a consistent basis to really get that buy-in from your team. But he's got, I think, all that other stuff. Kyle in Shelbyville on the text line, our Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League champion. I really like the Lockett signing. I'm still taking a wide receiver over Edge at pick number 35. Would y'all take Luther Burden over Landon Jackson now? It's funny you bring those two guys up because I actually love those two guys. Like, I think Luther Burden's really good. I think Landon Jackson's really good. I think if you force me to pick, Joe, I would probably go Burden, but it's close.
I probably would too. Yeah, I probably would too. Just the, and again, that's what it is. It's the specific player. You know, it's yep. not. We let's take this position here. Let's take that position there. It's comparing players. Again, I hope for the Titans' sake that they're able to bail out of there and get more picks because that's what they really need. But yeah, if they have to pick at that spot, I'd be hard pressed to not take Luther Burden at 35. I think that's pretty good value.
Well, we're gonna get in later in the show to, I think tonight into the kind of the first part of tomorrow, in the second round, has the chance to be pretty wild. Like with how this class is apparently viewed and the similarity of some of these players, I think it's got a chance to be a pretty entertaining draft from the standpoint of just unpredictability of what could happen. So I'm looking forward to that. William from Madison on the text line says, I guess with the Lockett signing, that drops Burks from Ward's top wide receiver list. That is a good question. Traylon Burks is number 4 wide receiver in the league. Is Lockett in there now?
Yeah.
Burks get kicked out?
We need a new Fortnite stream so we can get your ranking of Titans receivers. Cameron.
Maybe it just moves Lockett up. Maybe he jumps ahead of Burks. So it's just Ridley, Lockett, and Burks still in top 4.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's find out. Maybe the first question he gets asked.
Hog hunting is still an endearing quality.
It is. Can you do that when you've torn your ACL?
That's a good question.
Probably makes it a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, I guess. You can still sit in the, right? Like you can
get a lawn chair out there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can still.
Bring the hogs to me.
I mean, if you're a good shot, I think you could probably pull it off.
John Calipari, come call the hogs, and I'll get them.
Lance says the it factor is a good O-line and an offensive coordinator. Those are good things for a quarterback. Yeah,
it certainly helps. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on draft day here for the Titans and the signing of Tyler Lockett last night to add to the wide receiver room. We'll have the best and worst things in sports. Coming up at 6:45, Bruce Feldman from The Athletic will be with us at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. It's a lovey-dovey time in our YouTube chat right now. A lot of love being displayed for our program. We very much appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, I haven't gone in there yet. As soon as I get in there, it'll get nasty.
I mean, yesterday you're like, are these YouTube chatters idiots?
Hey, idiots!
Now they're professing their love for us on there. It's good stuff.
Pipe down, idiots.
Taking your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Terrell says, with the signing of Lockett, if they're available in the second round, I draft either Tet McMillan, Matthew Golden, or Igbuka. I don't know if any of those guys are going to be available in the second round. I would say the best chance is probably, I guess, Igbuka.
Yeah.
But even he, I still have my doubts that he's going to make it all the way down to 35.
I do too. McMillan is definitely one of those guys tonight that could be all over the place.
Yep.
He could be the first receiver taken. He could be top 10-ish. He could be low first, which would be, well, I mean, I guess he could really slide. It's possible. Interesting stuff like from Baumgartner on him the other day about the film difference, you know, how the year before. I mean, the year before, they in general were all like quarterback play. I know the same quarterback, but like all of it was way better. But I still feel like he's a good player. We'll see.
I got one texter asking if Tyler Lockett's going to have the Titans curse. I mean, at this point, like, does he qualify as a curse? Like, you know, I understand. Like, Julio Jones is probably the best example because he is, before he got here, even though he had the injury the year before, he was still an incredibly productive player.
Yes.
And then he got here and he just immediately was gone.
Yeah,
like even Andre, like Randy Moss, you know, Randy Moss was starting to go the other way. Andre Johnson was near retirement.
What year was Randy Moss? Was it 08?
I think it was 10.
Oh, yeah. That's too late.
Yeah.
And then Andre Johnson, yeah, the same thing. I mean, Andre Johnson. Yeah, Julio would definitely be the best example, I think, of all those guys of – although, I guess then, you know, like what, Pickens would be another example.
Yeah, but like Hopkins was good. Like Hopkins came in and at least his first year was pretty good here for the Titans.
But Julio, I mean, you give up a second-round pick because he had been nothing but Julio Jones until then. That's people Now, again, so in revising history, it's like, oh, man, that guy was – no, he wasn't. He wasn't on the downswing. He had a – injury for the first time in his career. He had been as durable as anybody before that last year. So, you know, again, it's easy to rip on everything John Robinson did. I still stand by. I loved it when they made that move. So he'd be the best example of, oh, my God, of course the cliff happens here.
Like
Tyler Lockett's already been declining.
Yeah, like Lockett's 32, and I said it, like 49 catches, 600 yards, and 2 touchdowns is what he had last year. That's probably like the high end of my expectation for him this year. Like if he gave you 45 catches for like 520, and maybe he had a couple more touchdowns in there. Like I right around there, I think is probably what you're going to get from him. Like the thing I like most about him is he stays healthy. Now, you know, it's the NFL, and when you're 32, eventually that probably goes the other way on you too, but he's been incredibly healthy throughout his career. So I just think you got to adjust your expectations of what Lockett is coming in.
Yeah, and if you can count on him to play every week and give you some production, give you some professionalism out there, you've helped yourself. I mean, you know, and so the expectations need to be limited, and then it's not going to be – I mean, yes, they've had a bunch of guys – but, you know, this is another one of those things where, like, if you could talk to other franchises, fans from other franchises, and they'd be like, yeah, you want to hear my long list of formerly great players who came here outside their prime? And, you know, it happens in the league all over the place.
Here's another thing that's interesting in the draft to keep an eye on that we've not really spent a ton of time talking about just because of what they did in free agency. And that is, do they at any point here address the offensive line further? Right? Like they brought in, obviously, Dan Moore to play left tackle. They're moving Latham to the right. So you've got two starting tackles on your team. You brought in Zeitler. You've got Skoronski. You know, the wild card here is kind of center, because I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen at center with them, particularly earlier in the year with the injury. But, I mean, it's still, you could still probably use a young offensive tackle somewhere, right? Like at some point. To have over there is maybe like a swing tackle, like NPF's gone, you know, one injury, and then you're all of a sudden you're up a creek again at your tackle spot. So we haven't talked a lot about it because they've addressed that need. But like I'm still not going to totally remove that from the land of possibility for the Titans drafting an offensive lineman somewhere here.
I'm not mad at them if they draft an offensive lineman. Again, it's just like whatever you do, it's at the expense of another spot that you really need. But I'm not mad at that idea at all. They need – young, and again, this is, I understand that year one, the Bill Callahan effect was not nearly what everyone hoped it would be, but he is still here. He does still have the track record that he has, and you would hope that a later round you might be able to find a gem because of his eye for offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, like he's exactly, like I don't really want to see him do it in the second or third round, like if they trade back. It'd be tough. But again, like it goes back to like what if you trade back and you pick up a third round pick, and by the time your pick rolls around, an offensive lineman's your best guy on the board. Like I guess you gotta do it at that point if you're the Titans.
Sure.
Like,
although the tackles are kinda solid for the next couple of years,
right?
Yeah,
they are.
You would think, given the contract and the ages of Latham and Moore.
I just think you can never have enough tackles.
Yeah, right. I guess if one of those guys goes down, then what? Yeah.
Which is pretty much guaranteed, right?
It's hard to get to imagine both of them being completely healthy the whole time. I mean, that'd be great.
I mean, he could always move Skoronski to tackle.
He could.
Maybe that's his destiny all along.
Maybe so. Have some of this, Mike Vrabel.
Probably not.
By the way, Vrabel, if Vrabel does draft Will Campbell and puts him at tackle, That's interesting. Because Will Campbell is apparently Tyrannosaurus Rex. There's so much talk about his short arms. You know? I mean,
it's like, wow, it's amazing that guy even has arms.
Yeah. Does he have any arms at all? Holy cow.
It's like Kenny Pickett's
little
hands.
Baby arms.
It's like, wow, does Kenny Pickett, how does he even grip a football? It's unbelievable.
But Vrabel's like, no, he's a tech. Okay. I don't know, man. I'm just saying that they had a different idea. By the way, I texted Vrabel last night.
Did you?
Yeah. He was at the Celtics game with Robert Kraft, and they had some huge run, and they showed Vrabel. It was like this. And I just said, nice golf clap at a basketball game. Like, what? Show some fire, man. He didn't respond, but I'm sure he's coming on the show
he's
soon.
He's not prepping for the draft. I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. How about you study up on some draft picks?
Vrabel, what are you doing?
Yeah, glad you have time to go to a Celtics game and golf clap in a playoff game. Their draft's going to suck.
It says, based on the press conference, I'm really curious if they truly go best player available. I'm bracing for a defensive tackle or a safety at 35. Hey, I will say, pretty good safeties in this draft.
There's that one kid from South Carolina.
Yeah,
they said he was like a freak.
Evan Worry.
There's some pretty good safeties in this draft.
He's going to the first round, I believe. Actually, we're going to have Bruce on soon. He's a big Evan Worry fan.
Yeah, I mean, you could get Malachi Moore, Alabama, a little bit later in the draft.
Speaking of safeties, you see what the Lions did?
Yeah.
Kirby Joseph is the highest paid safety of all time in the NFL.
It's a lot of money.
He's a good player, but wow.
It's a lot of money.
$83 million? Is that right?
What does that mean for Branch?
That's a good question.
Well, Branch is. Well, I mean, Branch is.
What is he? Is he a safety or is he a corner?
No, well, Branch, he plays some nickel too, but he's a great player.
They'll pay him too.
They got him in the second round.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah.
A lot of money being thrown around out there.
Undefeated 2025.
615-737-1025. Is our phone number. We have the best and worst things in sports coming up next here on draft day. We'll have Bruce Feldman from The Athletic joining us at 7 o'clock. Charles Robinson will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. Great day to have Charles on the program. Interesting stuff brewing around the NFL draft. We'll get to all that. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things for the sports world this week on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, you know, I kind of go too general with these things. You know, I should find some, like, really good stories sometimes. But my best thing is that while we have the draft tonight, and that's great, I'm excited for the draft. The draft's good. Doesn't need to be 3 days, but the draft's good. The best thing is that every day right now we have awesome sports to watch. We have awesome NBA games. Not all of them are awesome, but – pretty much every night, you're going to find at least one really good Stanley Cup playoff or NBA playoff game, and there's a bunch of them on. Like, this first round for both is when there's just so many games. Plus, we have MLB. So it's great to have actual sports to watch as we all sit here tonight and watch people hug Roger Goodell. Let's remember, there's actual sports. I will be over, you know, Titans headquarters. I will be streaming actual sports while these things are going on, while people are, you know, harumphing and hugging and whatever at the draft. The draft's cool, though. The draft's cool. My worst is, at this point, look, like, we're going to have Bruce Feldman on, and his stuff is fascinating. He gets all these college people talk about the prospects and give some frank assessments that they wouldn't give if they were given their names. I mean, it's valuable, and we all like it. Some of the just teeing off on, like, Shedeur Sanders in particular, it's just stupid, and it's so cowardly. You know, like this latest one of, you know, the worst interview I've ever had. And, oh, he's not even good anywhere. You know, like, just, you're a clown. And again, this is like some of the people, and I'll go back to like some of the, you know, the people ripping on Rand Carthon. Again, you know, I understand. I don't have a problem with Kaharsky writing it or anything like that. But like acting like falling asleep on a plane is some freaking crime. Some of this stuff is pretty weak, and we see it again here around draft time, and it gets a little bit. By the time we get to this day, it's gotten a little old.
He's a TV prospect.
Yes.
Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yes, he is.
Best, you know, I mean, low-hanging fruit draft tonight. I mean, even though it's a little...
I'm just excited it's here.
It's just that it's here, yeah. Even though we kind of know what the Titans are going to do. Anticlimactic in that way. But I think I'm going to have to go with the Gabriel Landeskog.
Yeah.
Returning for Colorado.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm a huge Avs fan or necessarily a huge Landeskog fan, to be honest with you, but just the perseverance, what he's gone through to make it back to play. Pretty much everyone was counting him out, I'd say, at one point. So pretty cool. Good story for him to be back.
Hadn't played since the Stanley Cup final in 2022.
Yeah,
pretty,
man.
Wild.
That is.
So that's pretty good. And I guess worst thing in sports, this is more of a generalized sports rant in a way. These sing-alongs during the hockey games, or I guess basketball doesn't really do it as much, more in particular hockey, you know, they take a little pause, little break, music comes on before the puck drop, puck is put in play, face-off is done, music goes off, crowd continues to sing. And it's like really lame songs. Is my biggest issue.
Well, that's
issue.
The key, right?
That's the key. They're like...
So give me some examples of the songs.
Blank 182.
Yeah.
They did Lit. My own.
Lit. Lit. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah.
Oh, God.
The killer song, Brightside.
Yes, Brightside's a huge one.
That's
yeah.
A, like, they'll
basically
play those songs.
Like
all those 90s
late
bangers.
Late 90s, early 2000s rock.
Which is fine, but it's like, are we at a concert or are we at a sporting event? Is the game on or is the game not on? And why are we singing these ridiculously lame songs throughout the entire crowd as the play is already happening?
Ian Safar would
get
like
off
you
my
to
ice.
Shut up.
Get off my ice, says Ian.
So that was a more generalized one that has come to mind over the past week or so.
I respect it. I like that. I like that a lot. My best thing in sports is I'm excited, not from the Titans standpoint tonight, because we know what's going to happen. We've been talking about it for months. I think this first round is going to be awesome from the standpoint of I have no idea where some of these guys are going to go. I think generally in most drafts, you've got a pretty rough idea of kind of the flow of what it's going to take. There's always surprise here or there, but for the most part, you've got a pretty rough idea of like the flow of how it's going to go through the first round. Once you get beyond like pick four, I have no idea how this thing's going to go. Like, where's Ashton Jeanthe going tonight? Where's, you know, Will Campbell going tonight? Where's Tet McMillan going tonight? Like, I think it's going to be awesome. So I am really looking forward to that part of it from the draft. I'm not sure that Joe, means that this is a great draft from the standpoint of, like, the actual players. But the draft itself, I think, could be pretty entertaining tonight. So I'm looking forward to that. My worst thing in sports... I think the Edmonton Oilers are on the brink of a crisis here, and I don't know if they quite know it. I'm really interested to see how this goes. They are down 2-0 in their series to the LA Kings. This is the fourth year in a row they've played them in the first round. They've won the previous three. And I said heading in the show, you know, Edmonton's got a ton of injuries right now. They hadn't really played great all year, and I picked LA to win this series. And right now it's looking like they may make quick work of this series. If they lose, which means they will have yet again, with McDavid and Draisaitl leading the way, failed to win a championship here, I'm looking around right now at their contractual situation. They just signed Draisaitl to this huge number this last offseason. After this year, McDavid's got 1 year left. He's got 1 year left on his deal at $12.5 million. And I'm telling you, man, like, if I'm him, I am keeping my options. There's no way I'm signing an extension with Edmonton this offseason. I am keeping my options open moving into next year. So I think this could get interesting with McDavid. Maybe he doesn't agree with that, and he just says, yeah, just give me the extension. I would keep my options open if I'm him.
When they stink next year, who's getting him as a rental next year?
That's a good question. Imagine McDavid centering Stamkos and Marchessault. That'd be something.
Oh, boy.
Barry
maybe
Trotz.
Maybe that's been Barry's plan.
Barry's plan
all
the whole
along.
Time.
We just didn't know.
We need to keep some room open for Connor McDavid. Get that draft pick in this year. Have McDavid in next summer. And frankly, if that's your plan, I'm here for it. It makes this whole season worth it.
Squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. The best got a lot of votes for best and worst in sports. One says, best is the NFL draft. The worst is what in the heck Nico Harrison was thinking with these press conferences. That whole leadership group doesn't have a clue. This is coming from a Mavs fan. You talked about that earlier this week. Quite the press conference from the Mavs GM earlier this week.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, if he didn't have a press conference, then everybody would be like ripping, right? Like we do that here.
Yeah.
We rip Amy for never having a press. You have to have an end of season presser.
Just have a better one.
But man, yeah, tough scene. Now I would definitely take a break from those.
Got one texter that says the best and worst going to watch Stillman at Twin Peaks tonight and play our new drinking game. Every time he brings up Bill Polian, we all drink. Hoping we're not passed out by the first pick.
Well, I was going to say, if you make it Bill Polian, Rick Spielman, Thomas Dimitroff, and Michael Lombardi.
Yeah.
But then you'll have to get dragged out of there. So don't do all those. But those would be
you'd be in trouble.
The Mount Rushmore of former GMs Jared Lowe's.
Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, sounds like Robbie thinks McDavid's coming to the Preds. I'm not saying that.
We've uncovered the plan.
If I was him, I'd keep my options open heading into next year. That's going to do it for best and worst things in sports. Keep them coming on our text line. We will banter with you there. We've got Bruce Feldman from The Athletic coming up next. Get his thoughts on the NFL draft tonight. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.